Today's podcast is brought to you by Mass Fiscal Alliance. Mass Fiscal advocates for fiscal responsibility, transparency, and accountability in state government. To learn more, go to massfiscal.org.
You know their names.
My name is Chris Doty.
I am Jeff Teal.
You know their platforms.
People are feeling like their freedoms are eroded here in Massachusetts. A booming economy and jobs and to make the state more affordable.
Now it's time for you to decide. The Howie Carr Show presents a special debate between the Republican candidates for governor of Massachusetts, Jeff Teal.
I've been a candidate that has tried to make sure that jobs and growth are here in Massachusetts.
And Chris Doty.
There is only one candidate that has that experience, me.
This one-hour debate is sponsored by the Massachusetts Fiscal Alliance, using advocacy to hold lawmakers accountable. To learn more, go to massfiscal.org. Now from the Matthews Brothers Studios, your moderator for the evening, Howie Carr.
Welcome to the first debate between the two Republican candidates for governor of Massachusetts before the September 6th primary. We want to again thank the Mass Fiscal Alliance for its sponsorship of this forum, and we welcome the two candidates. There aren't going to be any phone calls this hour, but you can share your reactions, at least with me. I don't know if I'll share them with the candidates, by texting Howie at 63566. With us here in the studio this evening are Jeff Teal, former state representative from Whitman, and Chris Doty, a businessman from Wrentham. Here's how tonight's debate will work. By a coin flip, we've determined who will go first. Jeff won the coin toss, and he elected to kick off to Chris. So he's going to start out. We will begin with each candidate making an opening statement for 90 seconds. Then I'll begin asking questions, which will be answered by both candidates for 90 seconds each. The order of response will change with each question. Due to time constraints, there will be no rebuttals. However, in his next answer, either candidate can use his time, or at least some of it, if he wishes to respond to what his opponent has just said. So let's begin with an opening statement first from Chris Doty. Chris?
All right, Howie, so good to be here with you. We really appreciate you hosting this debate. I'm glad to be at this point in the campaign where we finally get to share our vision of the future. We're going to create a booming economy here in Massachusetts, across the state and across all sectors. I'm a job creator and not a career politician. I've been creating jobs in the state for 30 years, so I know what we need to do to have a booming economy and bring jobs here. We're also going to make Massachusetts more affordable. We have one of the highest costs of living in America, almost on every category, and it's getting worse every day. Many of our citizens are struggling just to pay their own groceries. As a manufacturer in an intensely competitive industry, I have been cutting costs for three decades, so I know how to do this. This is my unique skill set that I bring to this campaign, is the ability to make things more affordable. I'm going to treat state government just like I treated my own business. I'm going to watch every dollar and start leaning out the processes to reduce bureaucracy and wasteful regulation. This is going to allow us to begin sending back more money to our towns and our cities so that they can fund their education, their police, their roads, and their sidewalks. And it'll allow us to begin to introduce a more competitive tax policy in Massachusetts. We cannot afford to lose more businesses like Raytheon. I love Massachusetts and the people of Massachusetts, and I'm hugely optimistic about our future and can't wait to take the job.
Jeff Teal, opening statement.
All right. Thanks, Howie. Thanks, Chris, for being here. And thank you, everybody, for being in studio and also anybody who's listening or watching online. So I really appreciate this. Back in 2010, I decided to run for state representative. I was serving on the town's finance committee in Whitman. I had seen the struggles of trying to get Beacon Hill to live up to their commitments of our communities. I was frustrated with what was going on Beacon Hill, as well as with the state representative that was there, an incumbent Democrat who'd been in office for several years. He was the vice chair of education. So I got out of my comfort zone. I ran for the first time, not knowing anything about politics, got up to Beacon Hill and actually found out that it was worse than I thought it was going to be. And so, you know, when I got to the state house and started working on what was important for the district that I had, I found that we needed to do a lot of things differently on Beacon Hill. And that's what I'm intending to do as governor. You know, right now we've got a legislature that still does not listen to the people of Massachusetts. We have billions of dollars in excess tax revenue. They will do nothing to provide relief to the people in Massachusetts who are struggling with the cost of goods, with the cost of gas and transportation. So we need to make sure that you've got someone who has a track record of trying to make sure the money comes back to the district and also lowers taxes so that we reduce the burden, increase the job growth, and make sure that businesses aren't leaving, not just Raytheon, but Smith & Wesson out in Western Massachusetts. We need to make sure they are there. We also have to make sure parents have a say with their kids in the curriculum, making sure that that inappropriate material for young kids is no longer in the classrooms. We also have to make sure we support law enforcement and the work they do to protect our communities and stop the drug flow into Massachusetts. So thank you very much for having this.
Okay, form. Thanks. Let's begin with the questions that I'm going to ask, and the first question will be to Jeff Deal, and it'll be answered. Same question will be answered. Will be asked of Chris Doty. Jeff, the shadows of two Republican politicians loom over this primary: Governor Charlie Baker and former President Donald Trump. How would you rate the performances in office of both men, and do you aspire to be a leader more in the style of Charlie Baker or Donald Trump?
You know, it's funny. Back in 2018, Baker endorsed the all the candidates running at the time, including myself. I was really proud to then get the endorsement of Donald Trump for this election, and I think he knows that I stand for making sure that Massachusetts is going to be a pillar as one of the states that does the right thing. Is, like I said, make sure that we change course on supporting law enforcement, not defunding the police, making sure that our tax policy doesn't continue to drive businesses out. 50,000 people also left Massachusetts last year because of the cost of things. So in my goal, I think what I want to do is make sure that, I know Charlie, when he first ran in 2010, then 14 and 18, I supported him. He talked about being in the weeds and trying to make sure government was more efficient and delivered the services. I want to do that, but also with a strong hand, which I thought President Trump had, which was unafraid to take on the powers that be, whether it was the Democrats or whether it was the media. He absolutely put America first, and I'm going to make sure we put Massachusetts first.
Okay. Chris Doty, how do you would you rate the performances in office of both men, and do you aspire to be a leader more in the style of Charlie Baker or Donald Trump?
Well, I'm not certainly here to give grades to anyone, but I would say that there are things that Governor Baker has done that I fully support. I think he's held the line on taxes, which I appreciate. I think we need to keep pushing a tax reduction policy so that we can be competitive. I worry that states like Virginia and Tennessee, New Hampshire, and Florida are becoming more and more competitive against us. And because of that, we're losing citizens and population, we're losing businesses, and that deeply is concerning. That's how you create long-term systemic poverty, is if you lose your businesses and your citizens from your state. And so I'll support those things. There's certainly other things that I would do different than Governor Baker. I come from a manufacturing background. I come from a competitive background where I've been competing for 30 years in a very intense industry. So I'll bring that spirit to the state house of being competitive and making sure that we're lean and mean and that we're using our dollars carefully. I think in terms of President Trump, he stood up for foreign trade, and that was really impacting my business and so many other businesses. I saw whole towns in the Midwest that were wiped out by foreign trade. And I was grateful he stood up for it, had some courage. And I think we've got to have courage at times and stand up for what we believe in. And I think here in our state, we've got to have some courage and stand up when there are policies that don't make any sense. We've got to have leaders that have plans, directions, goals, and measurables, just like you'd have in business. And so I think I bring that business sense, the same that Donald Trump brought into the office.
Okay. This next question will be first for you, Chris. Only 9% of the state's 4.7 million voters are registered Republicans. About 60%, as you guys know, are unenrolled, meaning they can take a Republican ballot on September 6th if they so choose. Why should independents vote for you, Chris, rather than your opponent in either the primary or the general election? And how are you better prepared than your opponent to defeat Mara Healey?
Well, that's easy, because for the last 30 years, These unenrolled voters in Massachusetts have voted for people just like me from the executive branch that have run businesses, that have been in the competitive world. This is, again, the executive branch. It's not the legislative branch or the judicial branch of government. Over and over again, the unenrolls look for people that have a reasonable, common sense, practical view of the world. And that's what I bring to the state house. And I'll bring that same skill set, where I'll look at the numbers, I'll run spreadsheets, I'll use a calculator, I'll check the cost of doing things. Imagine this. How many people make significant decisions in their life, but they don't look at the cost of doing it? Right now in our state house, we do that all the time. We'll pass a legislation, but no one will look at what does it cost to pass that legislation. And I'll bring that to the state house, and that's what I offer. And also a reasonable, pragmatic view. And those are the types of governors our state has consistently elected. And that makes me electable in this campaign.
Jeff, you know, again, the same question. Why should independents vote for you rather than your opponent in either the primary or the general election, considering they could decide the election if they wanted to? Why should independents vote for you, and why are you better prepared than your opponent to defeat Mara Healey?
Well, I think they will be voting for me, and I think that's the really exciting part about this campaign. It's a red wave, as we all know, nationally. Right here in Massachusetts, we're seeing people breaking away from the Democratic Party, more registrations in favor of Republicans, and we're seeing that people in the middle are realizing that the Democratic leadership in Massachusetts is no longer working for them. Again, masks on kids forever, that was awful, and parents are so fed up with that. Forced vaccinations of kids, they don't want that for them. Forced vaccinations of state employees who were fired. I'm going to hire back every single one of those fired state employees on day one. And on day two, I'm going to make sure that nobody is in my administration that thought that was a good idea. So we're going to make sure that Massachusetts gets back to work. We lost a lot of state troopers. We lost a lot of people at DCF. The MBTA right now is understaffed and under federal scrutiny because we lost workers because our governor was requiring the vaccine mandate. So look, while I respect what Governor Baker's done in office, I also have different opinions with him. Going back to your previous question, he also tried to implement TCI, which I stood out against. Transportation Climate Initiative would have caused us to have unelected bureaucrats deciding how much fuel could be sold in Massachusetts, and it was going to drive the price absolutely through the roof, as if we're not already suffering from it now. And one last thing, if I hadn't done the repeal of indexing our gas tax to inflation back in 14 with the help of a ton of people across the state, can you imagine where our gas tax would be right now? So I'll be the governor that will take the bold steps to make sure that the legislature is accountable to the people and not to special interests.
Okay, we're going to take a break. We're in the middle of the Massachusetts GOP gubernatorial debate here. And stay tuned. We'll have more questions when we come back. I'm Howie Carr.
The Howie Carr Show will return with more of tonight's special debate between Chris Doty and Jeff Deal, Republican candidates for governor of Massachusetts, sponsored by the Massachusetts Fiscal Alliance, using advocacy to hold lawmakers accountable. To learn more, go to massfiscal.org. You're listening to a special debate between Republican candidates for governor of Massachusetts, Jeff Deal, and Chris Doty. This special presentation is sponsored by the Massachusetts Fiscal Alliance, using advocacy to hold lawmakers accountable. To learn more, go to massfiscal.org.
Okay, I think it's Chris's turn to answer the question first, and then 90 seconds, and then Jeff Deal will have 90 seconds to respond. Chris, as candidates, you and Jeff bring very different resumes to the campaign. Tell the voters about why your experience in both the public and private sectors would make you a more effective candidate and a governor than either your opponent or later on Mara Healey.
Yeah, well, this is the big difference. This is why I'm here. When you write out a job description for a governor, the number one thing is jobs and job creation. That's what we look for our governors to do, is to make sure that there's a good, strong economy. That's the number one thing. That's where I come from. I come from the private sector. I've been creating jobs for 30 years. I know the struggles in our state for the businesses, both large and small. The governor, one of the most important roles of the governor is to be a salesman for the state, to go out and call the CEOs and those that are looking to relocate businesses. I can do that because I have been operating a business here. I grew it from a small business to a large business. Can you imagine if a man like me calls you up and you're looking at relocate a semiconductor plant or an auto parts plant or a business, and I say, I've done it myself. I know what the strengths and the weaknesses are. We're fixing the weaknesses. We're going to emphasize the strengths. We want you to come here to our state. We don't want to lose people from the state. Second of all, the governor has to be a role model. When I look at a job description of any job, it's to be a role model, to be an example of the highest degree of integrity, of honesty, of courage, and those things. In addition, I think the governor needs to run a large budget. It's $50 billion. It's 44,000 employees. It's complex on every level, the MBTA, the RMV, the universities, DESE. It's one of the most complex and largest organizations in our state. My opponent, no offense, has zero experience in any of that. He hasn't run a large budget or managed large employees, so he's not ready for that.
Okay, Jeff Deal, tell us about your experience in both the public and private sectors and why you'd be a more effective governor than your opponent or Mara.
Well, at 40 years old, I decided to run and serve in the legislature. I was on the Ways and Means Committee, which is the budget, the committee that basically determines the budget for the entire state. So I certainly know inside and outside what the state spends its money on, where it should be going, and where we can make improvements. On top of that, my wife and I own a business together, and then I work as a manufacturing rep. I have been for years. So, you know, I've never taken time off in the private sector, but I've also been able to work in public service as well. So I have the mixture of that experience, which is really, I think, important for the state. And absolutely, the work I've been doing as a manufacturer's rep takes me out of state, takes me around the country, working with partnerships. And of course, I'd love to bring those businesses to Massachusetts to replace what we're losing. At the same time, Massachusetts has great industries that we also have to protect. The fishing industry is getting stepped on by the wind and solar. We are seeing, Smith & Wesson, like I said, leaving because we've got Maura Healey, who would be a terrible governor. And just so you know, either one of us would be a better governor than Maura Healey. But she certainly is a disaster if that happens. That's why you need to make sure that you vote Republican this cycle, and those independents out there should come our way. I would say one quick thing, though, about Chris Dodian, his business. You know, if I ran my business that way, he's got 18 workplace violations 12 environmental violations with his business. He's got 18 out-of-court settlements with employees. You need to be someone who you can trust in government to make sure that you are looking out for workers. I plan to rehire people and make sure that they get the support they need, not have to settle lawsuits because I'm underpaying, not paying, or paying people under the table at my company.
Okay. Now, the next question is, it will go to you, Jeff, first. And again, remember, you guys can answer back and forth to whatever anyone says. The MBTA is a disaster. Even some Democrats now in the legislature are suggesting it may be time to just blow it up, privatize it. What would you do specifically to fix the MBTA? Can the MBTA even be fixed? And again, be specific about what you do.
Yeah, no, Chairman Strauss from the Transportation Committee has talked about the fact that maybe we don't need that authority anymore. One of the problems with authorities, or the good things about authorities, is that they are supposed to operate independently from the legislature and the governor, so they're not subject to a lot of that influence like the Ware report, where we saw probation people being hired in exchange for campaign donations. The downside to having that independent authority is that they can end up like the MBTA, where there's just nobody stepping in and accountable for what's happening. I know Governor Baker has appointed people in the Mass Fiscal Control Board. There was a fiscal control board to try to rectify what was going on. That was an emergency situation. I do think the MBTA can come back. And I think what we have to do is let the employees, the folks that actually are on the ground, do their jobs. What ends up happening is governors bring in their consultants. They come in with a new way to do things every 4 to 8 years. We hired a Chinese company to manufacture the red line trains and orange line trains. They're delayed. They don't fit the tracks. You know, we did not make good decisions in the past, and that was Deval Patrick who chose that Chinese company to come to Massachusetts and build those. We did not make good decisions then. We can make better decisions. I want to allow those workers to have more of a say so that they actually, because they're the ones who know how to make this thing work, let them help run the MBTA for the future.
Okay, we don't have enough time to we have a hard break right now, so you're going to get the answer on the MBTA. You're going to have about 4 minutes to think about it, Chris. Okay. All right. We'll be right back with the Massachusetts GOP gubernatorial debate when we return. I'm Howie Carr.
You're listening to a special debate between Republican candidates for governor of Massachusetts, Jeff Deal, and Chris Doty. This special presentation is sponsored by the Massachusetts Fiscal Alliance, using advocacy to hold lawmakers accountable. To learn more, go to massfiscal.org.
We ran out of time before the hard break at the bottom of the hour before Chris Doty could answer the question about the MBTA, which even some Democrats now are suggesting it may be time to just blow it up, privatize it. Chris, what would you do to fix the MBTA? Can the MBTA even be fixed? And be specific about what you would do.
Well, I love the question because it's very relevant for a governor. However, let me just go back to the environmental issue that my colleague here, Jeff, brought up about my business. I run a large, complicated business, 300 employees, 130,000 square feet. There are issues that come up with the state all the time. This is why I'm running. This is why the state of Massachusetts needs me, because we are not business friendly. I've lived on the receiving end of problems from just about every agency, every tax agency, the attorney general's office. It's complicated to run a business here. I owned a business in Tennessee that was similar to the one I own here. Do you know how business friendly they are? They are so much more business friendly than we are. The state of Massachusetts desperately needs a man like me to go to the state house to make this a more pro-business, pro-energy, successful state. I also want to point out with Jeff, he said he touts his experience in the legislature, but he never says that he didn't accomplish anything in the legislature. He passed one home rule bill in 2012. He passed no other bills. He had no amendments at all in the legislature. And so when you look at his record, he really didn't accomplish anything. He got kicked off of two committees, the House Ways and Means Committee. Then he got kicked off the Transportation Committee. And here's the worst part. Every one of his colleagues in the Senate and in the House of Representatives, almost every one of them is endorsing me. Can you imagine if you left your job and almost every one of your colleagues that you worked with endorses the other guy? That's what's happening here. Imagine that.
Okay, Chris, you have the. I'm sure Jeff is going to want to respond to that, but you have the next question.
Yeah.
In your political career, including as a voter, what was the best decision you think you've ever made, and what was the worst decision you think you've ever made
as a voter?
As a voter, or in your candidacy, or just any kind of political decision. So please answer both your best and your worst.
Well, interesting question for voting, or well, certainly in the candidacy, there's a lot of those, right? When you're running for governor, it's a humbling experience. Sometimes I have said things I've regretted saying. Sometimes I overspoke. I remember my first stump speech. It went for about 45 minutes, and I think people's eyes were glazing at about 15 minutes. And I look back on the very beginning of my candidacy and thought, boy, I overspoke a lot of things. I also spoke at times about things that I wasn't fully up to speed on. So I'd say those are the regrets I have. As far as the best decision I've made, I would say it's been to, in my business, is to bring a good, strong team together. And we have a great team that's energized and enthusiastic, and they're happy. And so it's a joy to run this campaign every day. I think picking the running mate I have, Kate Campanelli, was a great decision. She went into the legislature, took over the spots that Jeff got kicked off of, and she's a powerful legislator. She knows it well, and I think she'll be a great lieutenant governor. I see her being a lot like Karen Polito. She'll have responsibility for all the 351 towns. She'll be direct access to them. I also think we'll put her in charge of tourism. We'll put her in charge of other areas that our state is falling behind on. And so I think that was a good decision that we made also.
Okay. Jeff, in your political career, including as a voter, what's the best decision you think you've ever made, and what was the worst, best and worst? And again, you can answer.
As a voter?
As a voter or as a candidate.
Oh, as a candidate, yeah. Well, I think supporting President Trump in 2016 was the best decision for the country. He gave us the best 4 years I've ever seen since I've been in office. But also, I do want to rebut and talk about a couple of things. Now, Mr. Doty just talked about how he sometimes will say things without being fully informed. I think he needs to understand that up on Beacon Hill, most Republicans don't get bills or amendments passed. They usually get folded into other bills that the Democrats pass. They don't want to give Republicans any credit because we are a super majority or super minority up on Beacon Hill. And I'm glad you want to help out, your business and make sure that you get more loopholes so you don't have these environmental violations. That's a great goal. But the other thing, too, is in 2012, I filed an amendment for show ID to vote. Sure, it didn't pass, but it was a statement to make sure that people know that it's important, and we have to have those roll calls to make sure people know who the Democrats are who don't believe in showing ID to vote. 2015, I filed the amendment, no tax dollars for the Olympics. Guess what happened? The Olympics went away. They didn't want to have a roll call vote to talk about if they supported spending billions of dollars on a boondoggle Olympics coming to Massachusetts. In 2017, I filed the amendment for term limits for the Speaker and for the Minority Leader. So yeah, some Republicans in my own caucus aren't happy that I want to make sure that there's turnover and fresh ideas coming through when you're on Beacon Hill. I didn't serve to be friends with people on Beacon Hill, including Republicans. I served to work for the 40,000 people that elected me in 2010, and I'm going to continue to do that as governor. It's not about being friends with people up there and being an insider. Even though you tout yourself as an outsider, you're in with the inside crowd up there. That's great.
Okay, Jeff, you get the first. You get this question. You both said, I believe, that the COVID lockdowns in Massachusetts went on for far too long. We had the third highest death rate for a long time. We had the highest unemployment rate in the country at some points. What were the best and the worst decisions made by Governor Charlie Baker? And you've answered this question, but what would you do to make up for to all the you have, Jeff? What would you do to tell all the people who were fired for refusing to get the jab who worked for Charlie Baker?
Yeah, so I mean, you know, what's really sad is that even just 2-3 months ago, we've had state troopers still being fired, even though we know that the emergency order has been lifted by the governor. We know that there's been breakthroughs, that the boosters don't necessarily work. These are the police officers, even firefighters in Boston, that were fired because either Michelle Wu or Governor Baker felt that they should get the vaccine well beyond when we know the effectiveness. And they were the ones that were working on the front line when the vaccines weren't even available. Now, my running mate, Leah Cole Allen, was one of these victims of, she's a nurse, she was pregnant during the pandemic, worked through the pandemic, and then was nursing when the vaccines became available. She was very concerned about the effect of the vaccines on her baby when she was nursing, decided not to take the vaccine, and got fired for that job. So, you know, I think the way that people's civil rights were lifted, the fact that in a state where people tout my body, my choice, and yet we overrode their own healthcare decisions, government got between them and their healthcare, that was wrong. I will rectify that on day one.
All right, Chris, you know, again, the COVID lockdowns, your critique of Governor Charlie Baker, the best and the worst. What did he do right? What did he do wrong?
Well, great. First, let me just address something Jeff just said here about, he said that when he went to the legislature, he wasn't there to make friends. He wasn't there to build coalitions, and he didn't get along with anyone. Here's the problem is, when you're a governor, you actually have to get along with people. You have to build teams. You have to build coalitions. You have to solve problems. In the business world, you cannot solve a single problem by yourself. It takes a team. So now, going to the COVID lockdown, here's the thing that there's a couple things I'm concerned about. One is, I agree with my colleague Jeff here that we should bring back those that were fired and make accommodations for them. I completely agree with that. My worry when we talk about COVID lockdowns is education. I think our children fell too far behind. It felt like we went too far, too long, particularly when we saw kids playing basketball and they were wrestling and we were still in shutdown. And so I think we have a ways to make up. I have felt it on the campaign trail that parents feel like there's been erosion in our school system. Here's the three things that I'm going to do. Number one, a gap analysis on day one to see how far behind our children we are. Number two is, I'm going to implement a call line so parents can call the executive branch with any concerns with regards to their children's education. I want to make sure that the governor has the ability to address the problems in the schools. And number three is that I want to make sure that our teachers are back in the classroom. And we have we do everything we can to make sure that where education is occurring in the classroom is actually occurring.
Okay, this question is for Chris, first time. The Democrats have overwhelming majorities in both houses of the legislature. They have a veto-proof. It's going to be veto-proof next year. You look what they're doing. They gave illegal aliens driver's licenses. They don't want to cut meaningful taxes meaningfully for people. They're not doing anything about election integrity. You're going to have to deal, either one of you is going to have to deal with a veto-proof majority in the legislature. So how are you going to get things done with that kind of problem? Chris Doty.
Okay, so I really appreciate you asking this, because that's why I'm running, because I knew that Jeff could not win against Moore Healey. It's done. It's impossible for him to win. He lost the state Senate
seat. So you're not going to endorse me when this is over, right? If I win the primary, right?
Wait, come on.
Hold on.
Okay, gotcha.
Hold yourself.
Yeah.
Jeff lost his home Senate district by 17 points. He then lost the U.S. Senate by 36 points. He did not get one vote for the party chair. He's running a campaign that's targeted to Alabama voters. And here we are in Massachusetts. So he's going to lose. I know it. We all know he's going to lose. We need someone like myself because, as you're bringing up, Howie, we are on the cusp of going to a single party state and the disaster that will create. We're already getting the feelings of it. All the things they're talking about in the legislature are extreme. It'll be a great social experiment. We've got to have a governor that can go in, that can hold the line, put a brake on it, and begin rebuilding our party. It does us no good to select a candidate that's going to get creamed in the election, just like Jeff did with Elizabeth Warren. Remember, the election was called before the polls closed. That's how much he lost by, is 37 points. Remember the debate with Elizabeth Warren? Jeff went up against her, and he lost every single debate by a major, significant margin. So we need someone that can actually beat Maura Healey. This is the most important election of maybe decades.
Jeff Deal, go ahead, respond.
So I totally disagree with you, Howie. We are going to have a majority. We're not going to have a majority right away. I know Jim Lyons, my colleague in the House, used to say he wanted 81 state reps Republican by the time he was 81. We're working on that. But I don't think that I'm completely thrown in the towel yet and saying we won't get a great gain in the House and Senate with state reps in this election cycle. It's a red wave across the state, and it's right here in Massachusetts. We have fantastic candidates that are running for the legislature. If it's not this cycle, I think we can actually get to that veto-proof margin in either the House or Senate in at least the second half of my term. Now, working with Democrats, obviously, it's important to make sure that, you know, people know the governor is the one who executes the budget. It's my people who will be secretaries and commissioners for the state. But to address what Mr. Doty's talking about, the fact that in that election, despite losing to Elizabeth Warren, I got about the same vote totals as Mitt Romney, who ran first for U.S. Senate and then ended up winning as governor. You don't always win the first time you run. Charlie Baker didn't win the first time he ran, but he won the second time that he ran for governor. So we certainly built a great coalition around the state. At the convention here in Massachusetts, the Republican Party, I'm the endorsed candidate. I won with 71%. Those are the folks, the state committee people, who know what it takes to win in this state. They know that you certainly don't have what it takes. But look, again, I'm looking forward to making sure that as governor, we do get things done with the power of the purse. And look, sometimes if we don't get it done with the legislature, we can take it outside like we did with the gas tax ballot question and win with a referendum. So I'm willing to be a very active governor in that realm.
We'll be right back with maybe one more question and then the closing statements for the two candidates. I'm Howie Carr.
The Howie Carr Show will return with more of tonight's special debate between Chris Doty and Jeff Deal, Republican candidates for governor of Massachusetts, sponsored by the Massachusetts Fiscal Alliance, using advocacy to hold lawmakers accountable. To learn more, go to massfiscal.org. You're listening to a special debate between Republican candidates for governor of Massachusetts, Jeff Deal, and Chris Doty. This special presentation is sponsored by the Massachusetts Fiscal Alliance, using advocacy to hold lawmakers accountable. To learn more, go to massfiscal.org.
We don't have that much time left, so we're going to cut the answers down for this last question to 1 minute, and we'll lead off with Jeff, and then we'll do the closing statements. Jeff, you've touched on this, and so has Chris, but parents are wild about what's happening in Massachusetts, has been happening for the last 2 years. How would you ensure parental rights in public education, and how are you going to rein in the teachers' union and stop their probably inevitable attempts to shut down the schools again?
Yeah, so again, you know, we can't have the masks keeping kids out of schools. We can't have the vaccines being forced on kids. You know, you're seeing an increase in people homeschooling, 11% increase in Massachusetts. You're seeing parochial schools, Catholic schools getting massive enrollments because parents are tired of the baloney that's going on in the schools itself. The curriculum, sexual preference material from ages kindergarten through third is totally wrong. And, I have two daughters. I was not going to talk sex ed with them. That was my wife's role. I wanted it at 21 years old. There is no way a teacher somebody outside the family should be talking to our kids about sexual preference, especially at that young an age. So my commissioner of DESE is not going to be somebody who's going to follow through with that. Also, school boards. I want to make sure school boards are more representative of parents. A lot of times they have teachers on there. They have former administrators. They have people who have, you know, ties to the school itself, administration. It should be parents as the, for the most part. I want to support those people getting on the boards and then being able to speak up. They've been shut down. They go to Zoom meetings when they don't want to hear what the parents say. As a governor, I'll make sure their voice is heard about education.
Chris, what are you going to do about public education in Massachusetts, parental rights, and the teachers' unions specifically?
Well, there are a few things that a governor can do, but there's a lot of things the governor can't do because it falls in the local communities. But here's a few things the governor can do. First of all is pick a secretary of education that is focused on education, not activism. It's an important part of hiring. I've been hiring people for 30 years. I'm very good at picking out who are the right candidates. I'll give them the right mission, the right objective. I'll measure them as I would one of my employees. You know, are we performing the way that the parents expect from us? Number two, as I mentioned, is a hotline that I'd like to implement where parents can call if they feel like their child is being taught something that's inappropriate. I would like to commend all the teachers. I have been absolutely amazed by the quality of our teaching and our administrators, but I think there are cases where there needs to be a line that you can call if you feel like your child's being taught something that's inappropriate. Lastly is this gap analysis. I've audited for my whole career. On day one, I'm going to start a 100-day gap analysis of our schools to make sure parents are satisfied that we know what we're doing.
Yeah. We only have 45 seconds for a closing statement, and we're going to start with you, Chris Doty. Thanks for being with us. Your closing statement, 45 seconds.
Each or?
Each.
Okay. Well, thank you again, Howie, for letting us be here. This is an important, very important election. We've done one debate. I asked my colleague here, Jeff, we haven't had enough time to really debate. He's rejected all of them. Right now, we have four TV debates that are available to us. I've accepted all of them. We have three with the newspapers. I've accepted all of those. I hope Jeff will continue the debates. Number two is I just want to drive home this idea that Jeff won't win the general election. We all know it. Every single one of us listening to this radio know that Jeff cannot win running as an Alabama Republican in the state of Massachusetts. It's already over. A vote for Jeff Deal is a vote for Maura Healey. So you can love him, embrace him, but when you go to the voting box, you and I know we vote for Jeff. He's going to get killed in the general election, and we end up with the disaster known as Maura Healey.
45 seconds to Jeff Deal.
Well, there's your loyal Republican coming in out of the blue and running for governor, and when you lose, you're going to be gone, I'm sure, again. So, look, I can tell you this. A vote for Chris Doty is going to be a vote for the next Democrat. I mean, Hillary Clinton's thinking about running again for president. So in 16, you voted for. Maybe you'll get that support. She'll get your support if you're governor, right? Fact of the matter is, you know, my work in Beacon Hill for the last 10 years or 8 years on Beacon Hill, and the last actually 12 years also running for office now, has been going out there and talking to people about what they need. I think folks know, we've seen it in the polling, we've seen it at the convention, that they trust that I will do what's necessary to make sure that Beacon Hill starts listening to us and working for us, restores our freedoms. I will say too, Christy Noem is coming to Massachusetts August 10th, so go to jeffdeal.com for more information.
We're out of time. Thanks to the candidates. Thanks to the Mass Fiscal Alliance.